Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Tuesday, it is NFL trade deadline day, and let's bring in, he is the head coach at Innsworth, but also ESPN NFL analyst, Tim Hasselbeck, who is with us now. Tim, what's up?
What's up? Big day today. A lot going on.
Yeah, it is big. The Titans have not made a move today, but they have made a few moves leading up to today, so we'll see what they end up doing. But the Sauce Gardner move, two firsts coming from Indy to the Jets, and Sauce Gardner goes to Indianapolis. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, that was a big – I mean, that's a big one. First, the compensation. We were talking last week about, you know, sometimes compensation will raise your eyebrows, you know, in terms of what it is. That's obviously pretty significant in terms of the trade compensation going back to the Jets. And I think it says a lot about what the Colts, who I think are, you know, sitting with basically, you know, what would be the one seed right now, you know, didn't play great this past weekend in Pittsburgh, but, you know, probably says what they think about their chances this year to kind of go all in with the roster they have.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If you're the Titans, I mean, I know they basically said Jeffrey Simmons is off the table, and I understand that. He's 28 years old, but I also kind of feel like if a team called, like if, you know, I'll use this as an example. If Jerry Jones called and offered you a first-round pick, I think you need to be more inclined to listen. But is there anybody else on that roster that you think could yield something worthwhile for the Titans?
I mean, it all depends on, I mean, I guess what you're saying in terms of worthwhile, you know, in terms of what we're if you're talking about like a, you know, getting a first round draft pick, no, I don't think that there is. So, you know, I think that's some of it too. And this goes back to the conversation we were having last week. Like, you know, are people happy when you move a player that, you know, has been up and down or, you know, it's been an okay player or something like that, and then you get back like a, you know, a conditional third round pick that could be a fifth, depending on how much the guy plays. Like, you know, I don't know that, you know, that makes anybody that's a Titans fan feel like, you know, you're really, you know, stockpiling ammunition to really go make things, you know, happen in the next draft. So, you know, I think that's part of the problem when you look at, you know, the trade deadline and, you know, the impact that it's going to have on you going forward. I think more often than not, it can also be about like what you see coming down the pipe in terms of a guy's contract. Like, hey, we wouldn't mind getting out of this, let him finish a year somewhere else and be a cap casualty maybe somewhere else rather than, you know, on our own books. But so, you know, unfortunately for the Titans, I would kind of see him more, you know, along those lines. And I would say too, like, if, you know, Jets fans right now are not happy that they traded Sauce Gardner away. Like, I think they understand the situation of their team right now and all of that, but that's a proven, very good young player that, yeah, great, you got two first round draft picks, but like, you guys saw it, like, trade AJ Brown away, you draft Treylon Burks to be his replacement. Like, it's not always an even one for one trade.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Tim, it's good to see you tonight, buddy.
It was great seeing you, by the way. I didn't realize this, and I mean, Chase knows this because the amount of time that you guys spend together. But, like, it was, like, when you stepped on campus, the buzz,
yep,
of you being there, you know, three-time Emmy Award-winning, you know, media darling of Nashville.
Correct.
Like, it made the environment, like, senior night, it was already going to be a big night here at Innsworth.
Right.
But then when you came on campus, the buzz was, I mean, Chase, it was lit.
I'm sure.
It was unbelievable.
I am sure.
I just felt bad for the helicopter paparazzi flying around. I was like, guys, one night, give it a break. And they did after a while.
It's fair. That was fair.
Thanks.
Real quick, let me pass this along. The Cowboys are trading for Jets Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, sending a first-round pick and more to the Jets. Ian Rappaport putting that out there.
So now basically they've acquired three first-round picks today.
Yeah.
Pretty good day.
Yeah, now listen, you're trading Pro Bowl players away. I mean, just, you know, right. So like that's you know, the other side of it. But like, you know, if you're the Jets, like look, this is going to sound, you know, great and, you know, right now, but you still got to get them right, and you're going to have to get the quarterback situation right.
You know, that's – thank you, because I told Chase earlier, you know, people are like, well, I can't believe the Colts would give up two first-rounders. And I said, do you remember the names Steve Entman and Quentin Coriat?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. First picks by the Colts who did nothing.
Yeah, and we know this. I mean, you go look at the first round. I mean, it's basically a 50-50 proposition. And then depending on the position that you draft, it can be even worse. So, you know, the bust rate, I think I've talked to you guys before about this. You know, the bust rate on positions like corner and receiver and quarterback are insane in the first round. You know, there's more success when you're drafting interior offensive linemen and guys like that. But, you know, the bust rate on first round draft picks is extremely high across the board. And then by positions that you're going to need now, it can be really high. So especially at a position like corner.
That's a great point. All right, Tim, we have half a season sample size on Cam Ward. I think he looked really bad on Sunday, but you know far more about this position than any of us do. Your thoughts through nine games on Cam Ward?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I think if I were to give it a grade, you know, I think I'd probably give it a C+, you know, which is not an amazing grade. Yeah, I don't know, and we've talked a lot about, is he getting a lot of help? You guys have heard me say, you know, it's a dependent position and, you know, all of that stuff. But I think that, you know, I feel like I've seen frustration in his play as well, meaning, you know, at times, you know, just being unnecessarily aggressive with the football or careless or, you know, not as detail-oriented. And I think it's probably to be expected when you've had a coaching change. But, you know, there's certainly not enough, you know, evidence to be like, yep, he's for sure going to be a 10-year starter here and a Pro Bowler. Just like there's not enough information to say like, yep, you know what, this wasn't the right guy to build around. So, yeah, I don't want to say it's a wasted season, but I think there's going to be a sense that it's going to feel like a wasted season with, you know, a reboot on the coaching staff.
Do you think there is a sense with him, though, of – I mean, I know he's not going to directly not listen to his coach, but in the back of his mind that he's like, well, none of these guys are going to be here next year anyway. So,
yeah, you know, I think it's impossible. I think for a young guy that has played a lot of football, I think it's impossible not to have that feeling. And so while, like, you may be or listening to Mike McCoy because being around the league a long time, like, ultimately, you know that you're going to be there longer than he is. And it's just human nature to say, like, that's great, I get it, you know, like, but you know, I'm going to kind of continue to do things my way. And I'm not saying that there's, like, a defiance of that, but when you get into a game and, you know, you maybe have to, like, trust that it's going to work a certain way, you know, it's just not a natural feeling to do that when you know. And listen, people need to understand how it is for coaches. Every coach on that staff is you know, doing their best to coach to get the team prepared to win a game, but they are also working the phones to find their next job.
Yeah,
they're splitting their time equally.
No, I mean, that's a good point. And with Cam sitting there and what he's doing, let me ask you this. There are people loving this now. The quarterback guru now, is it Jordan Palmer? Is he the one that everybody goes to now?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that train with Jordan. I mean, there's a lot of guys that train with other people, but Jordan certainly has a number of guys that train with them, yeah.
Would a team be smart to hire him as a quarterback? Would the Titans be smart to hire him as a full-time quarterback coach with this new regime? Would you hire somebody like that?
No, because I think that there's a difference between, like, you know, what Jordan or guys like him do and actually coaching quarterback. Those guys are really throwing coaches. You know, like they coach throwing, like they don't coach the position. And that to me is like the big, I don't know. I think that's the, you know, in terms of how it's viewed, you know, guys that are training guys to throw, just working on mechanics, almost like, you know, it's kind of like probably a swing coach in golf.
Okay.
Like that is very different than like, okay, you know, like how do you whatever, course management and, you know, decision making and, you know, that type of thing. That those are two totally separate animals. Yeah.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We'll continue this conversation coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and also the head coach at Innsworth. Kind of looking at some games from last weekend, is Carolina a team that maybe we need to pay a little more attention to now?
Yeah, I think they're probably improved. I don't know if we've got to pay more attention to them. I think they're still, you know, pretty limited group. I think the bigger story out of that game, Chase, is just, you know, Green Bay. If you would have said, like, coming into the season, you know, a lot of people, I think, if you looked at the odds, maybe had Green Bay as the favorite to win the NFC North. And, you know, for them to play the way that they did, I think it was probably maybe the most disappointing performance out of anybody. I mean, obviously, you know, the Commanders had a tough one, but, like, you know, pretty disappointing Sunday if you're the Green Bay Packers. I think that Bryce Young has certainly improved. I do think they've gotten it right. Like, the young receiver they have is a really good player. They're running the football better. But I don't know that they're a serious contender.
Dan Quinn has taken full responsibility for leaving Daniels in too long. He gets hurt. Yeah. He's going to miss some time. They were, you know, out of the game at that point against Seattle. Do you think Dan is maybe putting a little too much on himself, or is there something to that? That as the head coach, you gotta know when to pull your starter.
Yeah, I think, and it's a very unpopular thing to do. I mean, you look around the league. I mean, almost no one does it.
Right.
You know, so even when he got asked about it after the game, you know, he almost didn't even understand the question of, like, what are you talking about? Like, no one does it. I mean, you guys see it, right? Like, it happens every week that there's a blowout. Like, teams don't take their starter out. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And so, look, I was watching the game with Scott Van Pelt because we were coming on right afterwards, and he said to me, it was 38-7. He's like, why is Daniel still in the game? And I think that there's probably a point because he's coming off of an injury that you could see taking him out would have made sense, but you don't know what's going to happen. You can't take everyone out. And there is just this weird environment when, like, you want the team to rally around your quarterback and understand that he's fighting the fight with you. So just, like, how is it perceived in the locker room when you take Jaden Daniels out in a 38-7 game, but when you go back out on the field on defense, Bobby Wagner, who's in year 15 and going to go to the Hall of Fame, he's still out there, you know, taking on, you know, blocks. Like, how does your team absorb that? Like, you know, that's the one thing I don't think people really take into consideration when they say, oh, well, hey, take that star player out of the game. You can't take all of your star players out of the game, and where do you draw the line?
That's a great point. Tim Hasselbeck is with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Tim, do we fully appreciate what Matthew Stafford has done in his career? Because he got the crap beat out of him in Detroit for many years, and he looks as good now as he did coming into the league.
Yeah, it's amazing how good he still looks. Obviously a great fit with what they're doing offensively, you know, at the Rams and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't know that there was enough appreciation for what he was fighting through in Detroit. It was an organization that was really bad at the time. I remember seeing a stat. I don't know if he ever had a 100-yard rusher in his entire time.
Wow.
In Detroit. So, yeah, I mean, look, he had one of his no-look in-cuts, you know, for a completion last week, and it was just like, that's incredible. Just, he still has amazing arm strength. He still, you know, plays with an incredible amount of toughness. And I do think when we look at it now between, you know, between the Rams and between the Seahawks, that's going to be a pretty competitive division, you know, towards the end of the season here.
How much does you think Matthew Stafford have in the game plan that McVay's like, hey, if you see something different, call it that way? Because they seem like they have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, I think there's full trust Stafford has. He's playing as much as he's played. And a lot of it is, like, when you have success, right? Like, when you're a guy that has, you know, reached the pinnacle, you've won a Super Bowl, like, in terms of the level of input that you have once that happens, it changes everything. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you become a parent, it changes everything.
Right.
Like if you win a Super Bowl as a quarterback, you know, the level of input that you now are allowed to have, it's just different, you know? And so, yeah, I wouldn't expect it to be any other way, you know, for Stafford with McVay.
How much fun was it? I don't know how much you got to see Buffalo and Kansas City. Just watching Josh Allen and Mahomes run those offenses. I really enjoyed watching those guys work on Sunday.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, the way they compete, the way that you look at it and you think, well, like, you know, it's never really over. And, you know, Buffalo did a good job of controlling most of that game. But, like, you know, it's even the end of the half for Mahomes. And, you know, he struggled probably as much as we've really ever seen him struggle. So, I do think it's probably fair to say that those guys have kind of changed the way the quarterback position is played because they're so physically talented, right? So to see guys, you know, like the cardinal rule is like never throw late, you know, back across your body. And like those guys both do it like three or four times a game. And every time you do it, you're like, oh, how do you find that completion? You
know? Right.
So they do things that like, look, when we're coaching quarterbacks at Ensworth, we're like, nope, you're don't do that. Like, never do that. Like, Cardinal sin, you're not allowed to do that. You know, and then they sit on their couch on Sunday, and they're like, well, wait a minute. Look at what this guy's doing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you're not allowed to do what those guys are doing.
That's a good point. The Bengals seem to be imploding. The defense is chirping at the offense and back and forth. As a coach now, you have a new dynamic to look at things. I'm not saying your team does this, but how does Zach Taylor correct the situation when the offensive defense don't like each other, and that's not a good thing?
Yeah, that's one of the most amazing things. That reminds me of that. I forget what it was. It was like that Snickers commercial or something. It was like, Leon can't do everything. Remember that?
Yes, right.
Maybe I have it wrong. Like, that was amazing to me. I don't know that I've ever – like, I've seen it happen privately. I don't think I've ever seen that publicly where a guy's like, yeah, man, like we were winning. Come on, defense, do your job. Like that was incredible. And on a team that's struggling and you know, trading some of their good players away and all of that, it's – I don't know how you fix it. And honestly, it probably ends up being so bad that it might end up costing Zach Taylor his job.
Ah, it's bad. It's bad. I know this is a really dumb question, but you understand this. How contagious is winning? And I say this when I look at the Denver Broncos, because they've all bought in.
Yeah. Well, first off, you know, you never have to premise anything with this is a dumb question, because when I'm talking to you, Joe, I know.
Oh, well done.
The reality is, you're right. Winning's contagious, losing's contagious. And when you look at the Broncos, and you can look at the Broncos schedule and say, like, hey, you know, are any of these really impressive wins? I don't know that they are, but there is something to always feeling like you have a chance, right? And guys believing in their quarterback, in their coach, in their defense to get a stop, whatever it is. Confidence is important. Like, you see it all the time where somebody loses and they're not the same player. Well, it goes goes the other way. You know, a really confident football team, you know, like you go back to that Broncos game against the Giants, Bo Nix had played horrible for 3.5 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He ended up playing, you know, a really good, you know, end of the game, and, you know, with a little bit of good fortune, and now all of a sudden the team feels like they're, you know, they're building on it. And I'm sure that they look at the AFC West and say, well, why isn't it going to be us? So, yeah, I confidence and how your team feels about their chances in a competitive game is certainly really important as you get into the playoffs.
Your thoughts on Caleb Williams with the Bears? I think the Bears got something there, Tim.
He's definitely playing better. That's another team where it's like, you know, the belief, you know, is important. I think that the thing I'm most encouraged about, and you probably, if you're a Bears fan, you should be most encouraged about, is that he clearly has amazing physical ability and could create offense. you know, the question is, like, can he play inside the structure of an offense? And I think we've seen kind of a marriage of both things happening, where it's like, boom, he's playing right on time. And then when you need him to make a play, he's done that as well. And I think that, you know, knowing when you need to do it and when you shouldn't do it is important. So, like, Drake May is a good example of a guy that can do the same stuff. Well, he really got New England into some trouble this weekend, trying to create too much at the end of a half, and it led to an Atlanta score. Trying to be too aggressive with the football, and they turned it over in a pretty closely, you know, in a pretty close game when they were trying to protect the lead. So, you know, I think the balance of that is what's important. I think Caleb's done a pretty good job of it.
Do you like so much your interest with Tigers now? You have a bye week. You earned a bye week. Do you like that? Because you guys seem to be in a nice rhythm, and now you got to put it off for a week.
You know what? I love a bye week, because what we do, and I think that, you know, some of this doesn't happen in the pros, but it certainly happens at the college level. We have an opportunity for guys that need some rest to get some rest. You know, you've played 10 games and you have sore shoulders and, you know, ankles that could use a little bit of break and things like that. And then it's an awesome opportunity for guys that maybe haven't been getting as many reps on a Friday night as JV seasons have winded down, that, you know, we can get a competitive practice with guys, that it's a good opportunity for them to get reps. So we actually, Joe, had probably, I mean, maybe our best practice of the year yesterday.
Wow.
Which, you know, I don't know that I was fully expecting it, but, you know, I think some of it was just, you know, knowing that guys were going to get an opportunity to compete. And I think you get better by competing. That's why I think it's important for kids to play multiple sports, because you're flexing the competition muscle all the time. So, I think it's great. I think, you got to earn it. I'm thankful to have earned it. And, you know, this Friday night, I'll be having dinner with my wife somewhere while the teams are playing football.
Have you ever heard this phrase before? Average teams
Where
practice.
Where are we going? Are we all going? Can we all be invited?
You know what? Where do you guys want to go? Might be covering some games at that point.
Yeah.
That's
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any recommendations for us?
Sperry's is pretty good.
Yeah, Sperry's is good.
Oh, okay. It's in the neighborhood. Okay. I like that.
But never discount a Taco Bell. Never.
Elizabeth is a very low maintenance state, but that, I don't know if she's going for Taco Bell.
Let you go. Have you ever heard this phrase? Average teams practice on green grass. Good teams practice on brown.
I've never heard of that before. But I think after you were here on campus, you know, Joe, that we don't have any brown grass over here at Ensworth. We have the best grounds crew in the state and have the best looking grass in the state.
What it means is that brown grass means you're practicing into November and December, and that's a good thing.
You know what? I'm glad you told that to me, because our grounds, the guy who's ahead of our grounds here told me, he's like, look, when the temperature gets cold now, whatever damage you do to the grass, like, it's not going to grow back. And so I came outside to do this interview. So I'm outside, you know, looking at our game field, and I'm like, it feels like it's springtime. It's like 70 degrees out. Like,
right.
Are we sure that the grass isn't going to keep growing?
Just remember that this is a good thing. Average teams practice on green grass. Ensworth is practicing on brown, because
That's
you guys earned
about.
That.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate it having you here. I mean it. And one of these days, you know, Chase will stop big-timing us, Joe, and he'll show up at one of our games.
Yeah, good luck on that, buddy.
Yep.
Good luck.
I know.
Good luck.
Tim, appreciate it as always, my friend, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Absolutely. Tim Hasselbeck joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. I believe you have to depart?
I do, and just a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
MTSU, I'm taking the advice of everybody that wrote into our text line today with me down there.
We'll reset that in the trade deadline coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.